Four Midwest Guys presents
The Night's Watch, a Game of Thrones podcast.
Night gathers, and now my watch begins. I am the sword in the darkness. I am the watcher on the walls. I am the shield that guards the realm of men.
We watch, we listen, and we remember.
The past is already written, the ink is dry.
I thought he was the man to lead us through the long night.
I'll show them what Lannisters are. What we do to our enemies.
How do you know this?
That's what I do. I drink, and I know things.
I believe men of talent have a part to play in the war to come.
I will never sit in that.
You could help another client to those steps and take that seat.
I'm not going to stop the wheel. I'm going to break the wheel.
They have no idea what's going to happen.
The real war is between the living and the dead. And make no mistake, the dead are coming.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back to Four Midwest Guys Presents The Night's Watch, a Game of Thrones podcast, our very first podcast ever on Game of Thrones. With me today is my brother Aaron.
Hey, how's it going, man?
How's it going, dude? Stephanie returns.
Yay! Hi, everybody.
And the Dirty Jay-Z.
I am the gold of tits and wine.
Yes, you are. You know things and you drink, right? That's what you do. That's what you do.
Did you say you're the gold of tits and wine?
No.
It's the gold coin with tits and wine.
Yeah,
it's
like a trade token you can use at casinos.
Yeah, no, I'm sorry. I'm deaf in one ear. I swear I said gold.
What's funny is it's not even the deaf ear pointed towards me
either. I know.
Mm. Kind of tricky with that accent, Hans.
All right, so as this is our first ever Game of Thrones podcast, I thought we'd just go around real quick and just say, why do we like Game of Thrones, Aaron?
The graphic violence, the political intrigue, the bouts of nudity that are rampant. There's lots of good reasons to like the show, I think.
I can't argue with any of that. Steph, why do you like it?
Because girls are badass in this show. I mean, come on.
Yeah, that's true, too.
Arya kicks ass and she's, what, like 16, maybe? Mm-hmm. 14? Mm-hmm. 12? Whatever. Yeah.
Daenerys?
Yeah, Daenerys rocks it. And then you have Sansa, but, you know, move on. But Marjorie is fucking cool.
Don't forget Marjorie's grandmother.
Yeah.
Don't forget about Captain Phasma. I mean...
Oh, Brienne of Tarth.
Oh,
God. One of the most
badass characters.
Women kick ass, and they should. Thank God this show finally shows that.
All right, Johnny.
Oh, my God. Where to begin? This is like... If I had to describe Game of Thrones to anybody, I would be like, hey, did you watch Lord of the Rings? Did you think it needed more profanity? A lot more, like, insanely graphic violence and, like, tits everywhere? Maybe even just whatever kind of sexual act you want to see. It's in the show, and it pulls no punches.
Did you read The War of the Roses in history class? Did that seem like a cool storyline to you? And you just want to see it more graphic and with fucking dragons? Yeah.
TV.
Spoilers for those that have not even seen season one.
Oh, it has
here
dragons?
Here be dragons.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought that was driven by the promos.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of the trailers. It's kind of hard.
I don't even know how. I mean, it's just like, I don't know.
My reason for liking Game of the Thrones is the plot twists. And it's probably the reason a lot of people, like, gripe and complain. It's the fact that the characters that you don't think are going to die...
Oh, yeah.
...are totally the ones that are going
to
die.
Well, and that goes back to season one when Ned Stark loses his effing head. And you're just like, I thought he was the main protagonist.
You're like, they just killed
the lead.
Yeah,
what?
Like a week after...
What a shock!
I had a coworker that watched that episode, and for a week afterward, they cut off his head.
Yeah, people went in mourning for that. Are you kidding me?
Oh, yeah. You go back to, like, the Red Wedding, and that people were just, like, stunned for weeks.
It was two in a row. It was, like, Ned, and then his son, and his wife. And
We looked at each other, and we were like, did that just happen?
Yeah, it was, you,
oh
no one expected
God.
It.
You were like, your mouth hit the ground and you couldn't move for like another hour.
Well, okay, if I may, really quick, one quick story I'd like to say. This show is always a hard sell to all of my female friends. Like, everyone I talk to is just like, oh, it's too violent. There's incest in the first episode. I can't watch that. And I love the show so much because of just like how brilliant all the characters are written, the dialogue, the stories, like you said, the plot twist, where the show took itself every season. And I wanted my wife to be able to watch it. And I was like, okay, first couple episodes, let's see how she does. So I show her the first one. I'm like, okay, maybe here's the second. And then she gets the second. And she's like, okay, well, I got to go to work now. So I'm like, okay. She goes to work, comes back, goes to sleep, wakes up, promptly like just dumps me on the couch. Is like, we're finishing the season. And we finished the season in one day. She was hooked on the show, and that was like one of my favorite memories. Like, yeah, that's how I knew my wife loved the show. That was our first binge watch was Game of Thrones. Yeah. We finished the whole series and got all caught up.
Well, here's to Game of Thrones bringing people together for once.
Yeah. 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 Game of Thrones
and romance. Yes. Yes. Tits and wine.
All right.
And Tyrion being the best character on TV.
Until they kill him off, yeah.
All right, so
they can't.
For our podcast, we're just going to kind of...
That's what they said last season, too.
We're just going to kind of talk about the show, and we're going to go through some talking points here. And the first, because we start off with the episode, and they go right to Jon Snow, which I was happy about. And, yeah, they don't do anything with it.
Well, they pick his body up, and they put it on a table.
I know, I'm like, he's going to resurrect, yes.
And then they're just waiting in the room, like, hanging out.
Well, it hasn't been 3 days, so...
I think it was probably a day by the time the episode ends, yeah.
It was ridiculous. I was just, it like, was probably so the next morning. Down.
Yeah.
So let down. I was like, oh,
were you expecting just yeah, I'm back, sort of intro?
I was convinced.
It was all a dream.
She's there. The other guy in her religion resurrects that other guy, you know, a couple seasons ago.
Yeah, there's the follower of the Lord of Light who can resurrect.
We've seen the mountain come back to life.
Right. Through a zombie, though. But
yeah, he's like a Frankenstein creation sort of thing.
Oh my god, which is like the coolest thing right now.
It's kind of funny.
But one of the things, and it's... I actually thought the blood stain in the snow looked kind of like a crow, but people are now saying online that it looks kind of like a dragon. What do you guys think about that?
It seems like a bit like a stretch to me.
Okay.
A little bit.
You don't think there's any relevance to it? Do you think people are just looking to look?
I've always kind of liked the storyline of Snow being like a secret Targaryen or whatever, but even this seems a bit like a stretch in terms of looking for signs of it.
To all of our Game of Thrones book readers out there, R plus L equals J.
Yes, the secret code. So we think the fans are just adding to the myth per se, then rather than actually.
Well, I mean, with a lot of fandoms, you do see that to an extent, yeah.
Steph, what do you think?
I honestly didn't even notice it until you just brought it up because I didn't even think about that.
Okay.
So it will be interesting to see where they go with that.
I agree. I would, if that has any kind of connection to the Targaryen.
Oh my god!
Maybe that was like a calling card to Bran or Bran. Bran under the trees right now.
Right. So, you know, Khaleesi, last season, she took off in a dragon, and the dragon dumped her in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
Essentially.
The dragon got tired, and it needed a snack, so...
So
I've just been stabbed and shot by a bunch of people.
Yeah, I'm actually kind of amazed the dragon didn't die off, in all honesty. Like, it got stabbed a lot.
Well, to be fair, that's her most badass dragon.
He's the alpha dragon of the
fair three, enough.
Yeah. You know.
So she gets recaptured by the Dothraki. Thank you. A lot of alcohol flowing tonight.
The Aquaman.
Yeah, really. You can tell we've been drinking for a while, folks.
They will ride their horses into the sea.
We'll ride our seahorses.
Oh boy, I'm having flashbacks of like what was that card? The Justice League.
The Justice League. The Super Friends.
Super Friends.
Oh no, I remember that. Oh crap.
Khaleesi finds whales! So, and then the Enterprise comes down to get their...
Moving on.
Okay, so before we go completely insane... so she's recaptured by the Dothraki. They take her to their Kahl.
Their leader.
Their Kahl. Their Kahl. King.
Yeah.
Khan. I mean, Kahl.
Kahl! And
two Star Trek references.
All right. We're slowly tying this to Star Trek somehow.
God, we're nerds.
Okay. So the Kahl finds out that she was married to another Kahl. Mm-hmm. And that apparently she's being sent to... a nunnery for...
Yeah, the Island of Widows. Yeah.
She played her trump card to basically keep herself from being, like, you know... Raped and murdered, so...
It was a great scene, though. Just, like, the dialogue was just so fucking great.
Like, you're not gonna lie with me or anybody else.
She has had consistently...
Because I'm, you know, so-and-so.
Like, her character has consistently, like, been...
Her title keeps expanding every season. I find that amazingly funny.
How many titles does she have to? 7? 8?
Oh my god!
Yeah.
By the time she gets to, like, you know, the Iron Throne, I mean, she's gonna be. She'll already. Well, she won't need to conquer anybody. She'll already be the most.
It'll just take her like an hour to actually list out the full time.
No. Like, well, she'll go from being Mother of Dragons to Mother Superior of Dragons now that she's going to a convent.
Oh hey, Lannisters! Enjoy the green fire on my way to the throne.
So, I don't know, what do you guys think about this? Do you like this move? I almost see her almost organizing all the...
Well, depending on how many are there.
Exactly! Yeah.
Like, I'm almost expecting it just to be, like, just to be filled with ghosts, and then she just charms the ghosts to her side or some shit. Like, what is it? The, Third Lord of the Rings?
She's gonna be Aragorn. Yeah. She's gonna...
Return of the King or whatever.
It has been reforged, and here's the Mother of Dragons.
Just add to her list of titles.
I actually see her, like, organizing all the ex... Women,
yeah, it was
you know,
a weird kind of twist. I wasn't expecting that.
Because we know that she's not somebody that's ever going to be docile.
Oh, I got another title for her.
Oh, my God.
The Leader of Widows.
There you go.
The Leader of the Dothraki Widows.
Yeah, no, just the Leader of Widows.
Oh, no, they're going to throw that one in there. It's like Leader of the Dothraki Widows.
So does that make her a Black Widow?
Oh. Hey, we finally have Scarlett Johansson's backstory.
I thought we got
that.
We
have the Red Woman, so why not the Red Widow? I mean,
Black Widow.
Black Widow? Yeah.
Red Widow.
Mother Superior of Dragons.
Okay.
Well, all right.
If one thing we've learned from her is that she is not ever going to be docile. Ever.
No.
Like, she's, like, for as much as her character has progressed over the past 5 seasons, she has gone from being a woman who took power from not being taken from behind by the Khal Drogo and... becoming his love, becoming the Mother of Dragons, and dear God, is she one of the most badass women on TV ever by this point. So, yeah, she's gonna... This is something that sets up, I think, a great arc for her character.
She's not really one to sit there and knit you a pair of socks. I mean, come on.
Well, she always goes in so naive, though, and she comes out so damn strong every time.
Yeah.
You know, that's the thing that gets me about
her. I want to know what she dropped off her finger. I mean, I know it's to let her friends know.
Wasn't it the engagement ring to the other guy?
I know it's to let her friends know that she's there. I know it's like a sign saying, hey, I'm here, come find me. But, okay.
Why is that phone never on silent?
So, it is the ring for Khal Drogo?
I thought it was the ring for the person she's betrothed to in the last season. So that
the one that was killed already?
Yeah, but it's still, if they saw that ring that said, oh, you weren't just a widow, you were betrothed to
somebody else. You were going to take your head off.
Because
she knows how they work. And how
she knows that tribe. And now she's going to own the stronger of the tribe, because... At the end of season one, the strongest one abandoned Khal when Khal Drogo for the fact that he got injured and it's like, oh, you're weak, we're abandoning you, and he was basically left with just Khaleesi, like his love, and because they were in love, and she saw them abandon him. I mean, that's what I think could be interesting. She could take back the Dothraki.
That's what I think is going to
happen. Yeah, and so that's. Holy shit, this is interesting right now.
Well, yeah. She's got to have dragons. She's going to have
dragons and horses.
A clan of Unsullied.
Unsullied? Holy shit. I mean,
if there's one thing you can always say for Game of Thrones, it has always done really well with her storyline.
Yeah. Those assassins don't stand a chance when she comes back.
Yeah, with the Dothraki, if they come march into town. Those harpies guys are gonna.
Those harpies
like,
are dead.
Well, the thing about her is she always has a purpose, right? Mm-hmm. Like she's all. My favorite line from her is, "I'm not just going to
stop the wheel.
Stop the wheel. I'm going to break the wheel."
That is one of the best lines of the show ever.
Yeah. So you know, her character is just awesome to me.
There's really a lot of great lines to compare that to as well. So it says something,
right?
So okay. So moving on. So. Back to the Red Woman, which is the name of this episode, by the way, that we're reviewing, a.k.a. Melisandre.
Let's get to the elephant in the room. Let's talk about the big moment, I guess.
What? Isn't that the end of the episode?
We're not there yet.
No.
There's
an elephant in here.
I was going to bring up...
what they ended it with, man.
I was going to bring up the fact that she said... Because not only does she seem to be losing her faith, but... She sees John on the table, and I'm like, all right, she's gonna do it, and she just goes, I saw him fighting in the fires at Winterfell. So like, he still had some role to play in her vision.
Yeah, now, there was a bit of a disappointment in it.
Yeah, right. So is there? So my question, I guess, would be: is this somebody pretending to be John? Because I've seen the previews ahead of time. Spoiler alert, spoiler alert, spoiler alert.
La, 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 la,
John's
la, 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 la.
Face ends up in that where well, Arya...
It could be a situation where maybe it's showing her visions of him.
Well, maybe, but his face ends up in the wall of faces at what I like to call the Jedi Academy for the Dead.
Mm-hmm.
That Arya...
For the many-faced god.
Holy
yeah,
shit.
Yeah, for the many-faced god, yeah.
If Arya took up Jon Snow's face...
Right. Fighting at Winterfell.
Her enemies don't have a chance.
Well, especially now that she's... apparently being trained even more so than she was before.
Yeah, that's down the road.
Yeah.
Right. But still, it just made me ponder. It made me take thought. And
oh, my God. No, actually, I wasn't even expecting that. Like, until you mentioned that, that thought had not even crossed my mind. That would be a fascinating variant. Like, Jon Snow, like, survived and his little sister taking his place.
Yeah, to me, her character is the most fascinating to me because it reminds me...
Yeah, I loved Arya's arc.
Her arc, to me, reminds me very much of... And then everybody...
This is going back to Star Wars.
Yes, it is, but it reminds me of Anakin Skywalker. She has seen so much shit and done so much shit.
You know what I...
And now she's being trained basically as an assassin, you know...
In the dark side.
In the dark side of the Force. Yeah, it just...
You know,
wow.
This shows Vader.
I got to say, like, now that you bring that up, you know, it really reminds me of watching Michael Fassbender in X-Men First Class.
Yes.
Like, because for the first time, dear God, can we silence that?
Yeah, I'll take care of it.
Because watching First Class, that was the first time I actually felt Magneto was a threat. Because Ian McKellen's like, oh, hey, you're enunciating your words great.
I really liked Ian McKellen's variant of Magneto.
Well, because Ian McKellen's just a great actor. But the thing is when Michael Fassbender was in that bar,
yeah, he's
and
very,
he drove that knife in. And
you can feel the rage with Fassbender more than you can with McKellen.
Yeah, you felt a rage, and you felt like, holy crap, what is this guy going to do? And I get that sense from Arya.
Oh, yeah.
Big time. I mean, she is... I see that kind of, like... The tension in her building up, well, like Fassbender did.
Even with the dog, right?
Yeah.
The hound.
Sorry.
Yeah.
alcohol again. But, I mean, here's a guy who basically was protecting her for probably a year or better. Yeah.
Yeah,
and she still ends up taking him out. And it's not a mercy kill.
She lets him die.
As slow as possible.
Yeah.
But I mean, then you have like the whole season building up to that where just every night just quoting the names of everyone who's fucked her over.
That moment when he says, finish her prayer, and she looks at him and says his name. Mm. Oh, God, that moment still stands out in my head. Because it was just like, hey, they're friends. Is he off the list? Nope, he's still on the list. She wants to kill you.
Okay, so let's get into Thorne, who is the guy at the wall, who essentially is Jon Snow's main rival, and basically organized Jon's betrayal, assassination per se. The guy actually has the balls to get up. At the council and say he killed him.
Yeah.
You know what?
Not only that, he provides his reason for doing it. He goes across the lines of saying, John did what no other, you know, leader of the Night's Watch would have ever done. He would have brought us to ruin. This is why I killed him. You know, I'm taking his place, more or less.
Yeah, he's basically saying, I'm going to be the next Lord Commander.
I should have thought of this, in editing notes. If there's any way you can get, like, the audio graphic from Hot Fuzz of, like, the entire, you know, watch, the neighborhood watch going, the greater good. Like, their little chant of the greater good. But
you can't have that because everybody was pissed off and they weren't happy about the greater good because he was their Lord Commander, and right. He should not have been even touched.
But that was their reasoning.
That was Thorne's reason.
That's what I'm saying. Like, his reasoning was absurd.
Yeah, because even Thorne admits, like, the Night's Watch was founded on trust and loyalty.
And brotherhood.
And he just destroys that in one, you know, swoop, and doesn't expect any retribution.
And honestly, that's kind of one of the themes that Game of Thrones has, the fact that, you know, the older generation clings to this is the way it's always been done, and the newer generation finds something new. It's like, hey, this is something that needs to progress with the times, because this is what we have to fight with.
Mm-hmm.
And the older generation finds a way of saying, nah, screw you.
I'm sorry, but the newer generation, meaning Jon Snow, yes, I agree with him. There's always another way to figure something out. And if that means looking at your enemies and taking them in as your friends, then so be it.
Right.
Well, yeah.
But then you have this newer generation, which is that young kid that kills Ygritte? Yeah.
Oh, the guy that the kid the, that the was supposed boy, to be Jon Snow's friend.
Yeah. The young boy who's standing there in the midst of all this. You killed the Lord Commander. Thorne's going, yes, I did. This is why I did it, blah, blah, blah. You have that young boy or that young man now standing there watching all this, and he's taking all this in, and you almost want to sit there and go, I hate you.
So almost stab him. Do we almost hate him more than Joffrey?
No, but you could almost see him turning into...
Well, yeah, I mean...
You could almost see him
You can make that argument that,
like,
every generation
so
does
evil.
Have those splits.
Yeah.
And in his defense, he watched, you know, the wildlings, you know, destroy
his
family.
Yeah.
He had very strong feelings about
it.
And
he had his reasoning.
But you could almost see him turning so evil that there's nothing to get him back.
Because that was also another thing that the older generation poisoned his mind, too, in the last season. Like, you saw him saying that. It's like, oh, yes, they did kill your family. So...
Yeah, it was a battle.
I mean, that's one thing. Hey, Game of Thrones is making us cheer for the death of two kids now.
Well, it was last season with that kid. It was the battle for his soul between Jon and between Thorne, and Thorne won that one, unfortunately. And it ends with the kid putting the last dagger in Jon's body.
Clearly, this kid has a bad choice of who he kills.
Well, he's young and he's easily influenced.
And he's an idiot. So.
Well, there's a lot of idiots.
Well, yeah.
The world's filled with them.
especially the Seven Kingdoms.
So, you know, the few people that are still allegiance.
Team John.
Team Snow. Very small population, and then.
Yeah, they all fit in a room more or less.
Team JS. they send one guy out to go get the wildling. To help them.
That is what was implied,
Overthrow the Night's Watch. Mm-hmm. Essentially.
And Thorne. We don't know if he's gotten in touch with them. We don't know what they've said.
Yeah.
So.
But I mean.
It's just whether they left it off with the scenes. It's like, oh, they're at the door.
Mm-hmm. It's also been a great couple of scenes to have Davos kind of in there. Just, you know, you have that kind of dialogue of, oh, I know what he means when he's trying to negotiate with us. If we go out there, we're effed.
Davos has slowly grown into one of the strongest characters on the show.
Oh, by far. I really enjoy his character now.
And something that we're going to get into later, and I talked to John about this the other day, and I pointed it out, and I don't know if either of you have realized this or not. Davros being at Night's Watch, he doesn't know that Stannis' daughter was killed.
Yeah.
He still doesn't know.
He doesn't know that Stannis is dead.
Right.
Spoiler. Sorry, if you haven't watched Game of Thrones.
Season five, one of the darkest moments in this show.
I don't know what the hell you're doing.
When they burn his daughter alive.
When he burns his own daughter.
That
I mean,
is...
Oh, I, That was actually the moment that made me fucking despise Stannis. Yeah. Like, I was neutral towards him at that point, and then just like, you
son of a bitch.
But my point is he's been there, and he hasn't.
Yeah,
he doesn't know any of this.
Yeah.
And when he finds out...
Well, he will dig up the corpse.
Stannis is dead.
He'll
dig up the corpse of
Red
Stannis
woman
just
isn't.
To kill
him. I know. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
I didn't think about
that. Red woman is not dead, and he's there, like, kind of defending her right now. Because he has no idea
what happened. Yeah, that's true. And if there's one thing that I always used to, they were in the South, I always said Davos was the Jon Snow of the South. And now,
for the longest time, we were able to get behind Stannis because, like, hey, we got nice witch boobs for a while.
For a while,
she was very ample,
right?
You know,
well,
nothing,
that I mean,
there
is a legitimate argument he had that from a. You know, lineage point of view, he actually could have been the rightful one in line. Like, you even have Ned Stark in the, like, first couple of seasons that kind of actually sends out the letter to him.
Yeah.
Making the argument that he was legitimately the one that should have been there.
Mm-hmm.
And then you just see his actions where he's just so power hungry to get to that point where it's just like, it defeats the concept of justice that he was arguing for.
Well, it's more so, I mean, and that's what's been interesting
killed
about
his own brother.
Well, what's also been interesting about his character is the fact that, because he was so poisoned by the words of Melisandre, that's kept pushing him to do these things. Like, I mean, killing his brother, killing his daughter.
He didn't kill his brother.
Well, true, but he
essentially set
the parts allowed.
In motion.
Yeah. And let's face it, he burned the leech that said that. What was his name? Rob Stark should be killed. Was one of the ones in the fire.
Yeah,
let's face it,
Stannis burned a lot of people.
Burned a lot of people at the hands of Melisandre.
And his wife, too. She deserved everything she got, by the way.
Hated that woman.
Out of curiosity.
If a woman is weak in Game of Thrones, she dies.
Out of curiosity, with Melisandre, like, having Stannis Baratheon died after she has supported him through various memes throughout the entire season... How does that affect her faith? How does that affect how she deals with everything?
I think she's having a crisis of faith right now, honestly.
Which always makes for great character arcs to find out what happens because, like, their entire belief system's in upheaval.
Okay, sorry, we went off.
We went off track, but we'll get back on that.
That was my fault.
So, there's a big scene. You guys will have to help me with the names because I have forgotten, unfortunately.
Ramsay Bolton,
thank you. So Bolton has a, Ramsay's has a, they have a conversation with him and his son, and, or Ramsay and his dad, and basically his dad points out to him, he says, you know, if you don't catch Sansa, then we're not going to be able to defeat the Lannisters, because we need the North behind us, and you need an heir, so basically you got to knock up Sansa.
Sansa has been your ally to the North, and now your sister's about ready to produce an heir, so right now she's more valuable than
I don't think that's his sister.
No, it's his stepmother.
Okay.
But also, I mean, it's in order to marry him off to Sansa, he more or less kind of gave a subtle FU to the Lannisters in the South at King's Landing.
He did.
And kind of almost looks like he's forming his own coalition, which he more or less is.
Yeah.
So without the support of the North, they're kind of surrounded on all sides.
Correct, and he's really putting the pressure on who, as far as I'm concerned, is the Antichrist of the series, which is Ramsay.
He has taken the Joffrey's place.
As like the most sadistic person in this show.
And yet I still hate Joffrey more.
The thing about Batman should have killed him.
The thing about Ramsay is he's like the psycho killer that you can see as a kid who was tearing the heads off of puppies or something.
Yeah.
I mean, this just
That
demeanor.
Depending on everything they've shown,
torture.
Like Ramsay doing, that is more or less how they would have gotten him on that path.
Yeah, I mean, it was just torture. He just enjoys torturing people.
Well, speaking of puppies,
that's his house.
Speaking of puppies, his girlfriend who was killed, the guy says, do you want me to bury her? Do you want me to cremate her? Do a pyre? He says, why waste the meat? Cut her up and throw her to the dogs.
Yeah, feed her to the dogs.
Okay.
They already took her out.
Here's a woman you basically been sleeping with for years.
Yeah.
Chop her up and chuck her over.
Not only is she killed by the dogs,
but
then you chop her up and just give him to her.
To the dogs.
Yeah. I mean, she took care of the dogs, and it's like, here you go. We'll just you're some ground chuck. Okay.
Yeah. Essentially, she's me. I mean,
although she deserved what she got too.
Oh, Lord, yeah. I mean, thank God she's dead. Yeah, you know, and anybody that's currently in Winterfell right now and ruling Winterfell needs to die the way she did.
I agree. Okay, so Sansa, who has gotten away with the help of Theon, aka Reek.
Thanks to an entire season's worth of torture.
Yeah. And this was actually something I wasn't quite sure how they left it off at the end of last season, because you show them jump off, but you're not really sure if they survive or they're dead, or like it was like a suicide jump.
What they landed
jump.
On, or yeah, where they like, landed.
Well, it was a bunch of snow.
Well, yeah.
Well, yeah, but it's from a giant height.
It was a little bit of
snow. Well, let's think about this. Would you rather jump off into a big pile of snow, not knowing what's underneath it, or would you rather go back to Ramsay?
You know what they landed?
I'm not disagreeing for motive. I'm just, by how they shot it, I wasn't sure if they showed her surviving or they were going to show like a corpse like hitting the rocks.
You know, a nice cliffhanger.
You know, literally. What they landed in was probably the same snow that was in Frozen when they jumped off the cliff.
Yeah, unfortunately.
It was 20 feet of fresh snow.
So Sansa obviously gets away with the help of Theon. The dogs catch up to him, Ramsay's dogs, and men catch up to him. And luckily, Brienne is there to save them, save the day.
They're saved by Captain Phasma.
Captain Phasma.
Well, at least she has more lines than this.
Yeah,
she had a lot more lines.
Yeah. And is allowed to continue to be a badass.
And you can see her face.
Yeah. Okay.
Yes.
Yes.
And on top, oh my god, and the entire tension of when she comes in to save him and her squires. Oh my god, and Poe. The fact that we're worried about Poe this time.
Podrick.
Podrick. Yeah, the fact that we had
going Star Wars.
Oh yeah, no.
Whatever.
Captain Phasma and Poe. No, Podrick. God, there was a moment where we were afraid for Podrick's life. I mean, God, we had Podrick around since season two when he saves Tyrion at Blackwater. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, we've loved this character for so long, and he's finally gotten into
actually picked up a sword for the first time.
And he picks up a sword, and he's fighting, and you're like, oh no, what's going to happen? And then, God, what a great scene with that fight.
So Sansa, even though she refused Brianna the first time, has now accepted her.
Thank God you've done something right, Sansa.
Yeah, but Sansa only accepted her because she looked to Theon and to say, should I trust her? And he shook his head, yes.
Right.
Should I trust her? He's like, you're an idiot not to.
Well, I mean, she's kind of the situation. It's like, well, what other options do you have?
But to be honest, she's been betrayed and, and manipulated quite a bit.
But let's face it, Sansa's the lowest lane of this show.
Well, maybe a little bit. you know, she's learning. She was the most naive, yes.
Well, I don't know. Last season, I think that was kind of the most disappointing arc, because you really built her up underneath Littlefinger and then let her go.
Yeah,
and then it just really slipped right back into like the first couple seasons again with her.
Yeah. I don't know. We'll see what happens. I think under Brianna's protection, maybe she takes on a role.
Yeah, but she was betrayed by Littlefinger, so that's probably why she regrets.
It's definitely a part of it, but I mean, it's just an interesting take on it, because they merged that character from like the book or into like something else.
I want to see Littlefinger get it.
That's something we really don't know what's happening within the season yet, either.
That's one character we actually didn't get to this episode, and
he is the snake. He is the worm.
He is so sleazy. It's ridiculous.
But god damn it, if he's not so charming in this show,
you know,
if only I could work a political ground the way you could.
You know he wanted Catelyn. He can't have her. She's dead. She also married Ned. That's fine.
Try to get
so he you almost. You were waiting for him to sleep with Sansa.
Yeah,
and that didn't happen. And he almost sold her to the Boltons and said, "You have to marry him because you'll be in Winterfell."
Yeah.
Okay.
But you got to remember.
Well, now what?
You got to remember with him. I don't think he. I think he wants to see every Stark dead because of what Ned did to him. Ned split him from chest all the way down, literally through his belly. That's earlier in the season. It's there. So he has a vendetta against Ned, and he never really. I mean, he helped get Ned beheaded, but he's. I think he wants all of Ned's.
He's also manipulating the scenario for his own power.
Oh, sure, but I think he has a axe to grind with the Starks because of it.
And to backtrack to Sansa a little bit, there was mention of her actually traveling up north to the Wall, because that's where Jon Snow is, and, or at least that's where she assumed he is. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, that could be something...
Oh, no, he's there, he's just dead.
Yeah, well, yeah. So, I mean, you could see those two stories, like, kind of mm-hmm. coalescing at some point.
Okay, so let's turn back towards King's Landing, and Cersei is eagerly awaiting Marcella. Comes into contact with Jaime and next to a casket.
Yep, just the boat riding in from the sea.
That was so hard.
And, you know, I couldn't help but feel kind of like, yeah, I didn't feel bad for her, though, because of how twisted and evil she is all
the time. I felt bad for her because I have a daughter.
Yeah, I do,
too. But I felt bad for her in the fact that Marcella was so pure. Like,
she was the good.
She like Cersei said, she was the good. She's like, I don't know how she was so good came out of me.
Yeah.
I don't know why. I don't know how. And this pure little thing gets killed by people that are angry at
us.
Yeah.
Because of her and her family.
Mm-hmm. And frankly, I think... And again, like you say about plot twists in a show, I mean, let's face it, how long have we hated House Lannister for everything they've done? And dear God, this is the... We are now finally sympathetic for the first time to both Jaime and Cersei. Like, with Cersei, not only did she have to go through the walk of shame in last season, which is arguably one of the best scenes of the entire show, but... Now we've had to have this moment where she's, like you said, she's admitted this. Like, she's admitted that this pure and good thing that's come from her is dead. I mean, she's... The one thing she's loved more than anything else, and everything she has done has always been for her kids. I mean, if Cersei has had any redeeming qualities, it has been she has loved her kids more than anything else in the world and would do anything to protect them. And now she's not only lost Joffrey, who, let's face it, was evil personified.
Joffrey needed to die.
Yes,
even she was kind of had mixed feelings on that because she saw the monster he was.
She see the monster, yeah. But Marcella,
it was also her child, and she kind of wanted him to survive for that reason.
Yeah, but you saw a different grieving mother in this episode. I mean, you saw someone that was completely different. I mean, she's got her son on the throne right now, who. You gotta know she is insanely terrified for him after knowing all the villains rivals her family has.
But also, it was let out. She kind of alerted this, in that this witch told her, "You'll have three blonde children and you'll bury all of them."
Mm. Yeah.
So yeah, it was like, what happened?
What's you do see her kind of arguing with the concept of prophecy and fate and trying to...
There's a lot of themes going on in this episode about fate and faith. I mean, Jesus. I mean, in 1 hour's time, this show has dealt with so many issues that... Like, we've watched movies that they've not even come close to scratching the surface that this show has dealt with the themes of. I mean... Kudos to the writers. You are doing a fantastic job with everything on this show.
And to your additional thing, their plot revenge.
Yep. Let's start.
Oh, I cannot wait to see how that plays out.
And on the flip side of the coin, in Dorne, we see the Sand Snakes kill their prince.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, she's sitting there praising them, and all of a sudden... Dagger right to the heart. Yeah,
well, the snake concept, you know.
She's a snake, she's essentially a snake. And then the whale rider killing off the other son.
That was brutal.
Yeah.
Yeah, which one do you want to fight?
It's like, I choose you. No, fuck you, I'm the youngest best actress nominee, well, I'll stab you.
You get distracted with her, and I stab you in the head.
It just shows...
That was just...
Yeah, it caught me off guard.
Wow!
Yeah.
I mean, God, even her sister went, "You are a real bitch."
And it just shows to me just how ruthless and really without honor these guys strike. I mean,
these women.
Yeah, I mean, they just...
Again, the Game of Thrones women. You are never safe around them.
Yeah, you got a point. I can't argue it.
And again, I mean, how are more women not liking the show? This is like Fury Road. It's one of the most female empowering things out there.
All right, so let's move on to Arya. We've kind of already talked about it a little bit. She gave in to her addiction
of her quest for vengeance.
Her quest for vengeance of killing her people on her list. They basically blinded her.
Well, the mask tainted her is how they explain it, sort of thing.
Yeah. Well, and technically, I mean, if anything, her vengeance has blinded her.
Yes.
And if anything, that's what they're probably trying to teach her.
I think so. So now she's become, I guess they sent her out into the streets and she's become like this beggar.
Yeah, she's just kind of hanging out, just listening to people.
And she grows to be Zatoichi, the blind swordsman.
Or the daredevil with the stick, sort of thing.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is she's blinded, yes. You can't always have all your senses when you're fighting somebody. You have to be able to hear them coming. You have to be able to sense them coming. You can't. Your enemy may not be somebody that you see. It may be somebody, you know, coming at you from another side.
Oh yeah, it's very much the blind swordsman. It's Jedi training.
With the blast shield down, how can I see? How am I supposed to find?
Your eyes can fool you. Don't trust them.
Oh God! Quit whining, Luke. Just hit the damn ball.
Well, I'm gonna do it without the camera.
Okay. So, you know, I like where they're going with this. I've loved this whole. I think we talked about it earlier, but yeah, I'm not sure if there's anything else to say other than, you know,
it's cool starting to see her start the stick fighting sort of thing.
Yeah, you know? That they're trying to train her that way.
So. I mean, my husband wanted to name our daughter Arya.
You wanted to name her too for a little while.
No,
it was mutual for the longest time, and then you're anyway. Like, I want something more normal.
Yeah,
she became Abby.
All right.
Well, now, if it makes you feel any better, at least you didn't go with Khaleesi. Apparently that picked up for a couple years there.
Yeah. Okay, so now... Daenerys. Now we are finally at the elephant in the room.
All right. Hey! Yeah, there is an elephant.
The end of the show. And I will be the first to admit, I was at a friend's house watching this, and she took off her clothes, and in a joking manner, I said, first tits of the season, and went, woohoo, and then she takes off her necklace, and I go, never mind, put it back on.
She became the woman from room 237 in The Shining.
Oh my God.
In your defense, it still was the first tits of the season.
It was. It just turned into the first
biker tits of the season.
The first seggy.
The boner got very weird. Okay.
Oh, yeah, it went weird real quick.
You still kind of find me attractive, don't you?
Kind of.
But in that respect, I want to see where that art goes
with that
necklace.
You know what? Sure. I really think
it's obviously enchanted. Or
you know, honestly, her taking off that necklace—that was the symbol right there.
I mean, does she have to eat small children in order to stay young? I mean, how does that work?
Is she Baba Yaga?
You know, honestly, I think what that was her taking off that necklace was that final moment of her crisis of faith. That was what kept her facade up for the longest time.
Yeah, she didn't care anymore.
No, she didn't care. She's finally at that point that everything I believed in has not come true. And yeah, of course, that was her way of taking it off. Like, I don't care. I no longer care.
I agree.
It was definitely a great twist for the season opener. Like, I never would have saw that.
How long have we looked at those boobs?
I know, hang on.
Those are a great pair of boobs!
And now I'm like, that's ruined.
The show has now taken the final twist to break us.
She's got rolls and she's got saggy boobs. She's every American woman.
She's normal.
I used to give her a standing ovation while sitting down. Oh, now I can't do that anymore.
Game of Thrones is ruining everything for you. Right?
Deal with it. You watch the show too.
So what you're saying is you don't make boobs and dick jokes and all that sort of fun stuff?
All that sort of fun stuff, no.
Oh, okay. Well, my apologies then.
All right, John, you're on here, so... What's your let's talk about your segment here real quick.
Oh my God, if you talk about like WTF moments, that was, what better way to end the show with what the hell did I just see? I mean, you're going to come back the next episode. You want to know what turned your spank material into that old woman. I mean, you're going to continue to watch for the rest of the season for that, to know
what the hell is up with this thing.
This woman can, like, you know, spew forth a smoke assassins from her vagina. I mean, you want to know, what is this religion, and how has it caused such a crisis of faith? What have you seen? What is this stuff? I mean, it is the biggest WTF moment that this show has had in a long time.
You know, when she gave birth to that thing, I'm beginning to wonder if we should have seen dust coming out.
You know what? Maybe that was a harbinger of the fact that we knew she was old right there, that nothing but dust came out.
And Stephanie is speechless.
We have broken our other X chromosome.
Oh, I thought she was just pacing herself.
That was a geriatric pregnancy. Let's move on.
Well, we also do see the Religion of Light in the One Kingdom that Khaleesi rules.
That's true.
Towards the beginning of the
show. Our one scene of Tyrion we get is when he...
He tries to give a gold coin to a beggar lady, and then he sees the One Religion.
Right. I mean, you know, the fact that Khaleesi taking off on the dragon has now brought back the faith and probably inspired the population to reject the way of the harpies. They're like, no, she's not just someone. It's like, this woman has brought back the dragons. I mean, what have you done, harpies?
Yeah. Well, then there's also the writing on the wall of Khaleesi is also a master sort of thing.
Yeah.
Which
yeah.
could be the harpies, or it could be another group within the country.
Right. So there's clearly something that's showing that it's, you know.
It's a religion almost. Yeah.
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 Which is what this show has done wonderfully, is tie in so much faith.
Absolutely. All right, so I think we've covered it good, so let's go right to final thoughts. Your final thoughts, sir?
I actually think this was a pretty great opening episode. I think it really sets up the rest of the season. You kind of see where certain things continued off from the last season. I mean, it still kind of leaves you on the fence about whether they bring back Jon Snow or anything like that. But otherwise, it's a great start for the season, and it's definitely, you know, it's definitely up there, and it's proving to be, you know, one of the better shows of, you know, on television still.
Copy that. All right, Stephanie.
Final thought? I'm just excited to see where it's going to go. You know, we've already had episode number one. It's a good starter setup. But we have 9 more episodes to go. And it's just every episode that in previous seasons, it's always nail-biting.
Yeah.
You know, and setting up for the next episode. And you want to watch the previews and you're like, what's going to happen? What's going to happen? And I cannot wait to see what's going to happen with Melisandre and Jon Snow and Bran. Oh my god, I cannot wait to see where they go with Bran.
That's the other thing, we got to promise a Bran, you know, for us this season.
I just, yeah, and god, I really hope they do something with that, with his, like, vision, power, you know, and bring that out. I want to see where it's all going to go. That's pretty much it.
Well, perfect final thought. Mine would be, you know, it was a good episode. I don't think it was a great episode, but I think it was a good episode I don't think it could have been great, though, because it's the first episode of a new season, and they're setting up everything. They're intriguing us. They're, you know, it's all about build-up, pretty much, this entire thing.
We'll whet your appetite.
And it could be that I am pissed off that Jon Snow is not resurrected, and it could be that I'm even more pissed off.
But
that
it hasn't been 3 days. And remember?
I know.
But winter's still coming. This show is great at building.
And the other thing, maybe I'm pissed off that, you know, he took away Spectre Vision, and that could be too. I don't know. So for that, I give the episode overall just a good solid B, I think, and maybe even a B+. So, Gianni,
you know, coming off of the fact that this is, and I got to bring up what a landmark Game of Thrones is here. This is the first, like, subgenre, not even subgenre, but, like, something other than a pure drama at the Emmys that has actually won Best Drama Series. Like, we've had 24, but even then it's still an action series. But for the most part, We've had, like, just straight-up dramas like Mad Men, The Practice, NYPD Blue, Sopranos. I mean, stuff that's, like, straight-up legitimate dramas always winning. Game of Thrones has, for the first time, been, like, the first fantasy or science fiction or anything that has won Best Drama Series last year. And coming off of, like, its biggest competition was the last season of Mad Men. And this show is, like, I mean, it has not just said, hey, this is a great cult show that's got some fantasy fans behind it. This is a legitimate drama. This is a show that people need to watch. This is a show that people can study, like, you know, like people have grown up with Lord of the Rings, reading the books, and, like, with Star Wars in respect. I mean, this is essentially what those are, what those were for kids. That's what this show is for adults. And It's one of the best things on TV right now. And as far as, like, my final thoughts for this episode, this is everything a great season premiere is supposed to do. This sets up all of our characters that we love, and it just, it gives them story arcs, it gives them something new, it gives them new worlds, it gives them new things and new directions to take each of the characters in. We're going to see conflict. We're going to see all this stuff that we want to see develop. I mean, and another thing I think we even missed, Marjorie is still held captor right now by what's essentially a cult. I still call them a cult, whatever that...
Well, it's the Church of the Old Gods.
The Church of the Old Gods.
City.
Right, oh, I mean, right, yeah. Like, she's still prisoner.
Yeah, they didn't show any of that.
But... I mean, we did. I mean, we had an episode where the high priest talked to her.
Yeah, it was
a... And it looked like there was a small bond almost growing between them.
I forgot about that.
So we've even got that going on. I mean, if she bonds with him and gets out, she's going to go right back to...
I almost wonder if she'd have sex with him.
Right! I mean, she's going to get out and go right back to being the queen again. And that could be what kills Cersei's last child. So we've got a lot of stuff that's being built up here, and I couldn't be more excited to watch these next 9 episodes develop. I mean, this is a solid A for me, and that's what the show has consistently been. There's never been one weak moment in the show, and that is why I wanted to have an episode, you know, have this show for all of us where we talk about this and talk about all these themes and talk about all the stuff that's developing.
Well, see, that's what's great about Game of Thrones is, it's brought, like, friends together and groups of people to sit there and watch this for an hour.
Oh, yeah.
1 hour. And you're you know, okay. You know, and you all can talk about
it. A more challenging feat in older age, yeah.
Right, right.
It is. It really is.
I mean, now is the age of technology, as Brian puts his phone down. We text message each other sitting across in a room. You know, we don't sit here and talk about stuff.
I can't even begin to count the moments. I mean, I was so overjoyed when Joffrey was killed that I had to post about it. I was like, thank God you're fucking dead! And my friends who waited for the show are just like, you son of a bitch! And I went, oh my God, I cannot believe I spoiled it! I'm so sorry! Because I thought, like, all of us Game of Thrones fans were watching it Sundays at 9.
Yeah, some people DVR it.
Some people DVR it. Yeah. Some people are catching it, like, on HBO Go, and they're waiting for it. But God, I mean, that's what this show is, and...
That did not satisfy my bloodlust, by the way. Just so you know. I wanted to see him beheaded, torn apart.
I actually really liked how they killed him off. Like, you just see him gasping for air.
He was killed with a chicken bone.
Too short of agony.
Right.
It was like a slow, just kind of withering away kind of death. It was good.
Yeah,
I liked it.
I wanted more suffering.
You wanted him to have the Bolton treatment.
He did deserve suffering.
Yes,
he did. He deserved the Bolton treatment. He deserved to be on that cross.
You just wanted to see scenes of him slowly having his skin torn away.
Yeah. Hell, I wanted Sansa to do some of the damage to him. That didn't happen. That's fair.
And my last thought that I want to bring up, and honestly, George Martin, I got to give you credit for this. Because for 5 seasons straight, or at least 4, I mean, because, let's face it, I mean, we talked about this before we started the show. I don't think the 4 of us here, we don't read the books.
Yeah.
You know, and I have come across a lot of people, or not a lot, but a few people that read the books, and a lot of the times they get a little smug in their opinion, where they're just like, oh, I'm going to wait till you watch this episode. Are you ready for the Reigns of Castamere? I'm watching you. You see me not watching this show? How are you reacting? I'm like, you smug bastard. Just let me enjoy the damn show, okay?
It's like, well, that wasn't as much an issue last season.
No, it wasn't. Because, and God bless you, George Martin, that you recognized the smugness of your fans that read the books and were pissing us TV lovers off because we just want to watch the show. And he's, I mean, he's even held off on the release of this of this book. And it's, a lot of the book fans are just, they're like, oh, what are you doing? I mean, it's not following the book. I'm like, well, good. Fuck you! Because we want to enjoy this show.
You know, I'm actually in the minority, but I'll say that I have no problem with the TV universe going off on one direction and the book universe going in another direction. Well, yeah, it makes it a bit unique for each
fan. Right. Yeah. Because you have the same writer. He's getting his chance to do two different perspectives and can keep doing this.
In two different mediums.
Yeah. Because, I mean, he's even felt his mortality at one point and actually gave the Bible of all the books to HBO and said, hey, this is how it ends. So, yeah, he's completely fine with the books not getting released and the show continuing, so...
But hey, the show's gonna continue, season 7.
Show's gonna continue, great! And you know what? I don't want to see your smug looks, you little book-loving friends out there. Out of curiosity, when
talking about George R. R. Martin, his motives here, do you think he makes more off the HBO shows than he does the books at this point?
Are you kidding me? The show on HBO costs more than most movies.
No. Well, I'm asking,
he definitely makes more on these movies.
So, I mean, there is a financial incentive.
I don't think it's so much a financial incentive. I think he loves fucking with his audience. He really does.
That's fair.
There's probably a fair point to that, yeah.
I mean, the Red Wedding itself is clear motivation. It's like, oh, hey, you like Rob? You like Rob Stark? Fuck you!
Okay.
Who's your new favorite, Jon Snow? Let's see how this goes.
Oh, you like him? No! He really likes you!
He's gonna be the new king? No, sorry.
So, pretty much every fan's just like, when you just meet George R. R. Martin, you're like, I hate Tyrion and Daenerys. Please kill them.
Nope. Like, we love. We
love the Boltons.
I love Ramsay.
We love the Boltons.
I love Ramsay. I love him. I really love him.
And I'm sorry, what's the guy's name that Tyrion's with right now?
The eunuch.
Oh my god. Yeah, he's very good.
He is the perfect person.
Valerys? No.
Yeah.
Varys. I love
Dear
them.
God, you could not have a greater on-screen duo, on-screen chemistry between two guys than those two. And one last note. I know I said the last one.
Come on.
You're on your third last note, dude.
This is really quick.
This is the longest final thought ever. All right, go.
Where's our robo guy?
Lost at sea.
Lost at sea. Our other heir to the throne.
Actual bastard Baratheon. Yeah.
The only Baratheon left.
Do you remember Poseidon Adventure? Maybe the boat flipped over and he's sitting on the top of it.
Oh,
yeah,
he's become Odysseus. That's what happened.
I think he'll end the season, he's just going to wash ashore in Dorne.
Yeah. Oh my god, that would be awesome.
He's going to turn up somewhere. The way Martin works, he'll turn up somewhere, and we won't see it coming. That's just how it is. Because he's the last of the stags.
Maybe he joins. Well,
yeah, but at the same time, like, you do have Martin's very comfortable with just kingdoms being overthrown. Like, Targaryens were replaced by the Baratheons and the Lannisters.
Didn't Davros tell him to go join the Night's Watch?
He did.
Did he?
Yes, he did.
He did.
Yes, he did.
But we haven't seen him yet.
He's still peddling his ass to the Night's Watch.
Maybe. You're going the wrong way! Yeah.
Maybe. We don't know. All right, guys.
Got himself to the South Wall.
Okay. So we're going to wrap this up real quick. Where can you find 4 Midwest Guys? Well, I'm going to make this quick, simple, and easy. iTunes, Facebook, Twitter.
YouTube.
Everything. Just by
Googling
the number 4 Midwest Guys. You can find us. Everything is on there. Just we're everywhere. YouTube, Twitter, Facebook, you name it. We're out there at just about every medium we can possibly be. All that I want to do is I want to hear back from you guys. I want to hear, are we good? Are we bad? Do we suck? Are we awesome?
Do you like Game of Thrones episodes?
And if you do, send us questions. I would love to answer questions on
tell on the me podcast. How much of a bastard I am. I don't care. Come on.
Talk about.
I can take it.
We'll talk about how John.
Going to tell you to shoot yourself.
So. Talk about how John has 12-hour final thoughts.
Yeah. It doesn't matter. whatever it is. If you don't like me hosting, I'm cool with that. Just let me know. All right? Let us know. Get out there. Get down to us.
All right. So, Aaron, thanks for joining us, sir.
Yeah, no problem.
Johnny?
Two more tits and wine, my friend.
Two more tits and wine. Yeah. And Stephanie, thanks for joining us.
Absolutely.
All right. And for B. Willie saying...
boobies, death and boobies, death and boobies, death and boobies.
Don't like anybody on the show because I'll die.